going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and now I'm joined by former Atlanta United, former U.S. Men's National Team left back Greg Garza. And if you don't know what Greg's been up to since he left the game on the field, he's been giving back to the game in a huge way as one of the leaders of Beyond Goals Mentoring, working with players of all ages and helping them in those next steps in their career. Greg, man, thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule for me tonight.
Thank you for having me on. Absolute pleasure, man.
So it's something that I'm still kind of figuring out in the game, and it's something that I'm sure you're dealing with at a variety of levels and ages. Pressure and handling it and anxiety on the field from players. I don't know if that was something when you were playing, if it was something you were thoughtful about then, or it's something that you've kind of come to after your playing time has ended.
Yeah, I think when playing, the pressure is ever present. It is always there. Now not playing anymore and not being on the field or in front of thousands of people, or understanding the, you know, the depth of what pressure can be. Even Michael Parkhurst and I, we talk a lot about just how kids are pressured, whether it be from the expectations that they have from their parents at home to do well in school, the expectation that they have from their coach. And this can come just from just as playing as a professional athlete. The pressure is so much more in those shoes. And one thing that I've really learned, even doing a lot of work with the league and speaking to a lot of teams before the season, is that we almost put this word anxiety and even the word pressure, and we use it in a different phrase, and we call it competitive stress. And that is something that now understanding and learning what competitive stress is, man, there are so many factors to it. You have to then think about you are in an environment every day where it's an everyday performance that you have to perform in front of somebody who is judging you. You are competing with your best friends for a spot. You are playing the game in front of thousands of people and fans for money. You are trying to take care of your kids to play for the next contract within the next year. And there's so many different factors that I think competitive stress can come by. And we give great examples within the league of guys who might have some family issues going on, or, somebody might be, passing, or somebody might be sick, or all these different things that can be another layer of pressure and competitive stress. And that guy still has to perform at a high level in front of thousands of people. There's a lot of things that us on the outside, we are not able to see what these guys are really going through. within their personal lives. You have to remember that professional athletes, they can't just take a couple of days off, right? They can't pull an Onana like Amarim and just be like, hey, dude, you need a week. And I wish sometimes it could be like that. But for the majority of these guys who are, you know, playing the sport that they love for a living, that immense amount of pressure and competitive stress is every single day. So that's something that I've learned, actually over the past couple of years, that there are different like levels and factors, especially the external factors that can determine that competitive stress. And we have to remember as a fan and somebody on the outside that we have no idea what that level of competitive stress that guy might be going through in that moment. And it can determine the types of decisions that they're making on the field. It can determine the types of maybe reactions that they have that they're making on the field. So I think that's a huge piece of it that I've learned now being retired from the game. But, you know, sometimes when you see some teams that are struggling at times, you kind of often wonder what might be going through their individual minds, what might be going in the sacred locker room, what might be going on in so many different other external factors that could be connected to that competitive stress and that anxiety.
I always feel like it comes and goes in waves. And sometimes that wave is positive. And sometimes, you know, things go your way, you get a couple lucky bounces, couple wins in a row, and you're riding the wave on a positive sense. But when it's a situation like, you know, a lot of teams, Manchester United has gone through this, Atlanta United's going through it, where results aren't going your way right now, it feels like you're at the bottom of the wave and it's crashing. When you get into a situation like this, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how can I get out of it? How can I snap out of it? How can I change the energy? What are the things that either you found as a player or things that you've found and you've seen that work for some of the mentees that you work with?
Yeah, the biggest word that I always say is just the positivity that's produced around everyone. What is your individual positivity that you are giving yourself? I always tell people positivity moves mountains.
Yeah,
it truly can. And so, you know, one thing that I would look for in teams that are struggling or individuals that are struggling is what is the positive energy that's been given around them and what is their personal positive energy that they have in there each and every day. And I think even some of the best coaches, some of the best directors, some of the best organizations that I played for, even in those, you know, catastrophic moments or moments that could be detrimental towards a team's performance at sometimes, there's someone in that room that is able to produce a high level of positivity. You know, I even use kind of myself as one of those pillars within Atlanta United a long time ago, because I may have not been, you know, one of the key players on the team. But in terms of being a goofball in the locker room and being somebody who could always create a laugh, or being, you know, we'd say not the nicest person in the room, but in a very funny way and trying to always bring people up, make people laugh. That's what I always try to be each and every day. Whether we just had a 4-0 loss to where, yes, it still hurts, but the only way we get out of those situations is by producing some form of positivity to give us hope. If you stay in that realm of negativity, then Parky and I say it all the time, then the only thing you're going to receive is negativity. So, and that's very hard to do, right? Scientifically speaking, human beings, we think 80% of our thoughts throughout our day are negative. So when those negative moments happen, what is the reaction individually, and what is the reaction of those around you that can produce a form of positivity to make, hopefully give a better probability of making things better? When you see teams struggling, that's one of the biggest things that I look for is what is their reaction at halftime? Do they come together as a team? Are they picking each other up when bad things happen? Because in great organizations that I've been in, such as Atlanta United, I can recall a meeting that we had going into 2018 season, the day after the Houston Dynamo 4-0 loss in Houston. And all it showed, Tata just got a video of our reactions on the field after every single goal, somebody throwing their hands up, somebody complaining, somebody doing this, somebody doing that. And I think from then on, it completely changed. And that was almost our lesson. Now, he was kind of that guy to put, you know, throw down the hammer and say, okay, look, if you guys continue like this, I'm sorry, you guys have a great team, but it's not going to work out the way that you guys want it. And I don't think we lost two games in a row after that. So, you know, it was an interesting concept. You see all the people and all the moving pieces around that can change little details like that. But yeah, positivity for me is a hard thing to do at times, but still a very necessary component.
Yeah, that mix of personalities is always so important, and you never know how it's going to turn out. You know, you never know, I think, somebody's true colors until you are going through a rough patch and you kind of see how it comes out. You mentioned the pressure that has increased. And that's something that sticks with me too, is you hear the conversation, you don't have promotion or relegation in MLS, so there's no pressure. I mean, ask some of the managers who've lost their jobs because of results. The players are feeling it. Everybody's feeling it. And I think here in Atlanta, maybe because of the size of the club and the size of the fan base and the size of the stadium you play in, that pressure manifests itself in different ways.
It's not an easy thing to do, to play in front of thousands of people, especially for people who are players who have never experienced anything like that before. You have to remember where a lot of these players come from, whether they're playing at a smaller club, whether they've never been in an environment that is such a spectacle within the Mercedes-Benz. That is a spectacle, place of soccer that you don't experience in other places. Every coach, every player who comes to the Benz will always say, this place is so unique and it is just so different than anything we have ever experienced. In regard to maybe our success, I think whenever we had that success a few years back, it was a big surprise to us, but I think we had almost used it from transitioning from Bobby Dodd and having that success from the very get-go and realizing our capability and just carried that over into the Benz. And so I don't think there was this transition moment to where it just, we got lucky. That's such a huge word. And I think so many great coaches I had use that as well, is that you have to remember you need luck.
Yes.
As well. You need a lucky bounce. You need a lucky deflection. You need a lucky post hit and to go in. So, you know, I look at even the team right now and see a lot of unlucky moments that could have gone their way. So, you know, just in terms like that of playing in a spectacle area that is different from every place else. And then also just that little bit of luck that I think sometimes can also, like you said, it can go through its phases throughout a season as well. Tables will always turn, the world goes round. So, you know, it's the MLS season. And one thing that I think every interview I ever had playing in the MLS for the last 4 years of my career is that you could always say, all you need is one win in this league and things can turn around. It is the longest season of so much travel, of so many ups and downs. There are no constants. You don't look at these three or four teams and be like, these guys are the constant of this year. Everything is always different. You know, last place team can beat first place team. It doesn't matter, right? And there's so much confusion within that, but at the same time, almost a level of like balance towards wherever you are in the table can immediately change and turn within a few games.
It goes back to that idea of the balance of positivity and negativity. You know, there's always pressure in every game in MLS because you're not that far ahead of anybody else. It's not first versus 20th in the Premier League. It's not like that. It would never be like that. But it's also opportunity. If you're on the other side of it and you're playing a top team, yeah, in this league, the margins are much smaller. So if you can find that outlook of opportunity versus dealing with pressure, maybe that can get you through some of these moments.
Most definitely. I think in every player's mind, you just have to always be somewhat close to that playoff spot.
Yeah.
That is something I think even in our minds, whenever we were playing back then, is that was the ultimate goal, because the playoffs are so much different. It's just like any NBA team or any NFL team or any NHL team or, you know, whatever national league we have within sports within the US. The playoffs is a completely different league. It's a completely different tournament. So if you look at every team that is on the cusp of, you know, 3 points away, 2 points away, 4 points away, 5 points away, you're only two games away from being in the playoffs. Right. So that's a pretty darn good, you know, way to look at things. If you are now 6-7 games away from the playoffs, then yeah, that would be a moment to where you kind of have to really self-assess, look from an organizational standpoint, from a fan base standpoint, and be like, okay, things need to change. But if you are only 2 games away from playoff contention, there shouldn't be that much of a worry, because you are very close to where most everybody kind of is in that same ballpark. So that's the way that, from a player perspective, you always look at it. All we have to do this year is make playoffs. That's it. I don't have to win the Shield. I don't have to win anything. It doesn't matter, because nobody remembers New York Red Bull winning the Shield that year, right? Nope. Everybody remembers us winning the Cup. And that's the most important piece within the league that all these guys play in.
We overreact a lot in pro sports. It's kind of the nature of it. It's what we do. I do want to end with this, because I'm sure that you are a mentor to a lot of kids who are going into the high school state championships starting tonight.
Yes.
Games on the girls' side tonight in 4A, 5A, 6A. Boys' side starts tomorrow. All the smaller schools the rest of the week. It is different when you get to this time of the season. You know, how do you handle, in your mind, what are the pieces of advice that you give when you're going into a knockout game that can either prolong your season, or, you know, in seniors' cases, it could be the last big game that they play in their lives?
Yeah, I always love, and I had a great Argentinian coach that would always say, don't play every game like it's your last game, play every play like it's your last play. And that was a good piece of advice that I think always stuck with me. And I think that kind of almost determines like the type of player that I was. I was getting stuck into every tackle, making an overlap run in the 95th minute. Even if we were winning 4-0, it didn't matter to me. I was still playing that last play as if there was no tomorrow. So a lot of these things that we tell these kids that are especially going into these, which I love because they're community games, yeah. I almost call them. You're playing for your girlfriend or for your boyfriend or for your 50 friends that are there with their shirts off and got paint on their stomachs and whatever it is, right? It's like you're playing for your community. So can you embrace that pressure and almost use it as like just an extra piece of motivation towards, yes, playing every play like it's your last play? I feel like every high school game that I've gone and watched, every little play that is, you know, that happens within the game is celebrated so much, the littlest of details. And it's all your friends. And what better way would you want to spend, whether it be your last game as a senior or your first game as a freshman in playoffs, to have those that are around you that love you, support you. And it's just such a different environment than having maybe scouts or club coaches around you. So I always use it as like you almost get to play freely. Much more freely than you would in a club or a scout environment or at an ID camp or at a showcase. So that can hopefully prepare you for when you do get in those moments. So you kind of have to use the high school games as that, you know, that stepping stone towards what's next in your soccer career or anything that you do in life.
Yeah, it's such a cool moment. I always love this time of year and calling these games. I get so excited and happy for the teams who do well. And it almost brings tears in my eyes to see like seasons end for people, because, you know, that could have been like their last big game. It could be something where it's a motivating step for the next step of their career, maybe going to college to play. You're going to get guys who come back into the Atlanta United Academy environment. It's such a cool thing to see this grow, and it's a big celebration of the game in the state.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
For people who don't know Beyond Goals, give them the rundown real quick. So I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there listening. Kids are playing. They're trying to figure out how to help them. What are you guys doing with Beyond Goals right now?
Yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate the platform to give us some love. It means a lot to us. You know, we've been doing this now. It's pretty crazy that we've been doing this now for almost 4 years. It has grown immensely, and we are so grateful for that, with just word of mouth and people watching kids grow up into greater human beings. That is our ultimate goal. We are using soccer as and the sport, any sport, as a tool to develop better human beings in life. And they are our next leaders of tomorrow. But things we focus on are components like confidence, coping and dealing with pressure, leadership values, and leadership characteristics for kids to use for the rest of their lives, not only in soccer. And a huge piece of it, which I love and is probably my favorite, is resilience. Understanding that, hey, life is not fair. Life is going to kick you in the butt a lot. The game itself is going to kick you in the butt a lot. Look at professional athletes, what they go through. So there's so many different nuances and little things that we kind of help from a different background and from a different level of experience within the game that we all love and play. But that's it. Building our leaders of tomorrow, helping them understand the value of the mental side of the game that, in my personal opinion, is not spoken about enough. To learn the value and have an edge on the mental side rather than just having a God-given talent at your feet can always speak so many more in much higher and greater volumes in the type of person that you are rather than just how good you are at something. So that's what we're doing at Beyond Goals. And you know, you said something, we speak to a lot of high schools and middle schools as well. The one thing I always tell them before I go is that, hey, remember, especially in these high school games or in these middle school games with playoff contention and just everything that they're living, those are the most moments that I miss as a pro. Those moments that you get to spend together with friends, close loved ones, man, like the banter that you have in the locker room, the jokes and the good times that you get to spend. And for a lot of those kids, I don't think they realize how fortunate they are to have those moments. A lot of kids don't have those moments in high school or in middle school. And you might not ever have those moments again, if that might be your last game in soccer. So how can you make the most of it and kind of cherish those moments that you have with a lot of really good friends? So can't take those things for granted ever.
Make sure you go visit beyondgoalsmentoring.com. Greg, man, we could talk about this stuff forever. Thank you for giving some great insight into that mental side of the game that I'm with you. It needs to be talked about more. It affects results more than we know. And I hope that this maybe gives a little insight into what that's like for athletes at all different levels. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man. You're the GOAT within Atlanta of soccer information, man. So any question that I have, I'm always looking for your advice as well. So I appreciate you and everything that you do, man.
And we'll be having more conversations for sure. But coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, it's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. Coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.